A wonderful Vincent Price, along with Michael Jackson in Thriller. All right. You're listening to KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming live around the globe at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and our listeners just like you. Well, it is currently 7 o'clock Central Daylight Time still. 53 degrees here in the Twins. We're here at the historic Bailey Building office on the west bank of the Mississippi River. Coming up in just a few seconds will be Robert Pilot, Wakunjahade, and the best of Native Roots Radio. I am awake.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by NACTI with Make Voting a Tradition in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're honored to be able to welcome Minnesota First Lady, Mrs. Gwen Walls, to Native Roots Radio. Gwen, thank you, Pini Gigi, for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be with you, and good morning, everybody.
Hey, last time we saw you in person was at your holiday cookie party in St. Paul for the press and media. Again, a big thank you and a Pini Gigi for the invitation. And now we've been seeing you all over traveling the campaign trail. We're so excited and proud of you and Tim and here from Minnesota. What has the campaign trail experience been like for you?
Well, Robert, thank you for coming to that party. And that was fun and fun to spend time with you and eat cookies always. And one thing about the campaign trail is I've been bringing some of those cookies along with me. We bake them at East Cliff and then take them with us and leave them at field offices across the country, which has been really fun to bring a little bit of our home or our tradition with cookies to people who are working hard for the campaign. So it has been amazing to travel from state to state. Honestly, I'm spending a lot of time in Wisconsin, some time in Minnesota, but Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, New Hampshire. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. So it's been really fun because we are living our values. And some of your Minnesota listeners probably know Tim and I quite well, know that we just find a lot of joy in being able to advocate and campaign for what we really believe in, because so very, very much is at stake, right? And the distinction is really clear in this election. And I think the thing I talk about the most is that Tim and Kamala will be a president and a vice president for everyone and all of us. And that is a stark contrast to the other side. And, you know, we could go on with a lot of examples, but I would just say that J.D. Vance and Trump do not really have everyone in mind when they are thinking about this country as a whole. And so to advocate for that, and I know specific issues that you'll ask me about, but the reproductive rights, our own freedoms, having a seat at the table, and being trusted to make our own decisions. Those are all really important things that Tim and I have fought for and cared about. And now we get a chance to do that in lots of states and meet lots of people. So it's been intense, but it's been good.
Absolutely. I'm a former teacher also. And what's exciting, I got to just let you know, too, we're based out of the Twin Cities, but we're on 30 channels in Wisconsin, too. And we just know how our relatives are so important to get out the vote. Yes. And all the hard work you and Tim have done in Wisconsin is duly noted.
Well, thank you. You know, your vote is your voice. And I think sometimes we think we're just going to vote on election day, but we might have something come up like road construction, right? Or a sick child. And what I would say is get out and vote early. It's too important to miss. And so in Wisconsin, you can vote right now, right? You don't even have to be registered. You can bring a form of ID, and I think that goes through November 1st. Yeah. And so you can register and vote at the same time. It hardly takes long, but make your voice heard. And in Minnesota, of course, we're in early voting too. Tim and I voted yesterday because it was a time when we could both be in Minnesota, and we wanted to do that together. And Gus, who just turned 18 in the middle of October, was able to vote with us. And for his first time. And so that was a big deal. And Gus and I both told Tim that we voted for him. So, you know, if you get votes in your own household, you're doing all right.
Exactly. And we know when the young ones become first time voters like Gus, they'll be voters the rest of their lives.
That's right. That's right. Don't give up your power. Do not give up your power. Keep that. Your vote is your voice.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you've spoken honestly about your journey with IVF and starting a family. And we're here at Native Roots Women think that women should have complete choice about what she does with her body. Can you speak a little bit about why protecting reproductive rights is so important in this country?
I would love to. You know, Tim and I had not spoken publicly about our journey. And actually, the method we used was IUI, which is in the IVF family. But I just want to be really clear on that. There are all kinds of fertility journeys, and maybe no two are alike. We had not spoken publicly about that because it had been a really challenging thing for us. And it was, at the time, like, it made it more painful to share it. We had a neighbor who helped us, but even our family and close friends didn't really know the journey that we'd taken to have our children. And when the Alabama Supreme Court decision came down, Tim and I knew that we had to speak publicly because we believed everybody needed to have their own right and their own choice to create or have a family if they chose in the way that they chose. And I say out on the trail, nobody should be telling us if, when, or how to start a family. And it is very clear that Trump and Vance have an agenda here. You know, so even if we feel safe in Minnesota or in Wisconsin partially around this issue, if there's a national abortion ban, that Trump and Vance have talked about that and discussed that and said, you know, that's part of their agenda. Well, that's not going to protect women in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And the biggest difference, if I could just state it clearly, is that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz trust women, and they trust them to make their own choices about their own bodies. And then I think all your other choices follow from that. J.D. Vance and Donald Trump do not. And even in Project 2025, it is clear that they could make dramatic changes to reproductive freedom, specifically around medication abortion, without congressional approval. And they could do that through the FDA commissioner who they would appoint. So there's a lot on the line in reproductive freedom. And that's why Tim and I decided to speak about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had to even have conversations with our own children because we were not at the point, you know, where we had spoken about that process with them. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them is married or has children yet. And so I don't know if you know exactly when the right time is, but we decided now this was the right time because mm-hmm. we feel so strongly about it. And if we can lend our voices to that, we are absolutely going to do so. And if there's no other reason to vote, having your own choice and your own rights to make your own decisions, beginning with your body, is a reason to vote.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it was great seeing you and the governor and Gus going and voting early. I know Wendy and I have voted early. Our producer Haley has voted early. Have a plan. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah. We have to have strategies. Lives are busy and things get in the way. If you wait till election day and you don't have a backup plan in case your child is sick or, you know, the road construction is happening and you're going to be delayed and then you have a lot of other things on your list, you may not get the chance to vote. So doing that early is great. And if you can, but if you have election day, make sure you have a backup plan to your backup plan because we need you to vote. That's part of your own power.
Oh, thank you so much, Peeny Gigi, for joining us for this quick chat today on Native Roots Radio. We hope the next time we speak, we're calling you Mrs. Gwen Walz, the Second Lady of the United States of America. Big Peeny Gigi.
Thank you, Robert. Go home and hug those grandbabies, would you? Tell
right
Wendy
on.
Thank you.
I will. Thank you, Peeny Gigi. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Thanks, Haley.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we have our friend Dr. Stately on, President and Executive Officer at Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and wow, there's some exciting news. I'm glad you're on that just came up, and it was reported by your favorite network, NPR.
one of them, one of my favorites. But yeah, NPR published a story about the Centers for Medicaid Services, which kind of like is like one of the largest funders of healthcare, right, in the country. Kind of a safety net. Healthcare service provider or funder, insurance product or entity. They have moved forward on approving four states to have two-year pilot demonstration projects where they will cover the cost of traditional healing practices for Native people. California, Arizona, Oregon, and New Mexico, I think.
That's unbelievable. Would you ever think this in your lifetime that you'd see this? When I saw that go across my social media, I was amazed, and I'm so glad that you're on to talk about this.
Well, I'm very deeply excited that like we're at this place where we are finally one of the largest federal health systems, right? These are demonstration projects that will fund or provide financial support for the implementation of the capacity to be reimbursed for delivering these services within IHS designated health facilities. So IHS hospitals and clinics, urban Indian health clinics that get IHS fund our IHS funded entities. And it's these four states that are sort of like have advanced what are called 1115 waivers to the Centers for Medicaid Services. So states get to implement different kinds of, I guess, demonstration projects that they believe would be fundamentally helpful for their state recipients of Medicaid. And they advance waivers all of the time. Like, you know, like Minnesota is working on a waiver now and developing the argument and the proposal for a waiver around traditional hearing as well. And looking to see some of the things that are happening at the federal level to sort of like guide some of that conversation. So it's only four states, but it's, you know, California has the largest number of Native serving our Native people living in that state in terms of the number of tribes and also the number of Medicaid individuals. So it's a good place to test the concept and the project. So it's, you know, all eyes are going to be on those four states for a while. So
Dr. Stately, what could you name a few traditional things that we do? I think they're different in different tribes, but I know you guys do a lot of traditional healing things too. Give a couple examples to our listeners what that looks like.
Sure, well, we provide, like, I think a lot of these entities, and we'll do some of the similar things that we do, which is we provide access to traditional medicines, plant-based medicine, like that you can use for, like, the four sacred medicines: cedar, sweetgrass, sage, and tobacco for smudging and praying and doing personal ceremony and those kinds of things. And then also, but also plants that are plant-based medicines for, like, that you would create teas for. During the pandemic, we really rolled out a lot of, like, kits for creating teas and elixirs and things that would help you with your, like, congestion and your breathing and those kinds of things. We have also, of course, advanced food as medicine as a real very specific thing that we do. We also have created community access to ceremonies for, like, different kinds of healing practices that would help people help their spiritual well-being, their emotional and psychological well-being, as well as their physical well-being. But the spectrum of traditional and cultural practices that would be helpful and healthful, beneficial to us in terms of our overall health, are as broad as they are for the rest of the population, right? So an example would be things like, you know, if you were obese and you had diabetes and you had a number of other things and you were told by your doctor to do things like, you know, go see a physical therapist and, you know, learn to, you know, they have these pools that they put you in sometimes when you're obese and you have difficulty with your, so the buoyancy lightens the weight that you feel so you can be a little bit more active, those kinds. These are interventions that have been done in the broader community, but we have probably movement-based interventions that we would probably be able to do as well that would increase people's physical activity and their movement and help with all kinds of, you know, problems, you know, arthritic pain and these kinds of things. We have medicines that would treat and help people to manage pain and the experience of pain that is non-narcotic. You know, these are plant-based medicines, things like that. There's the field and the opportunity here is very broad and very wide. And I think that what's interesting is this article that I shared with you that is was published by NPR and is kind of making its way around, you know, the world right now, is these demonstration projects are specifically happening within the field of substance abuse and mental health services, which is kind of like, I think, where the preponderance of this work has happened for the last several, you know, decades, if it's been available. I mean, back when I got my PhD in California, we were like working on trying to find ways to bring people in to do healing work with from their original communities, and they would come and they would set up visits along with the doctor, where the healer would come in with a visit with the doctor and provide some consultation to you and or to the doctor for something that you need. But we don't see that as often in the practice of family medicine or in like medical clinics as we do in these other kinds of services. So I think there's opportunity for us to see how this kind of ferrets out, and also for us to begin to think through like, well, what would this look like within like medical or medical clinical settings, and for other practices. And you know, it's exciting because it opens up this whole opportunity for us as Indigenous people and other communities that also practice traditional healing methodologies. And we're not the only ones, Native people.
Right.
But it opens up this opportunity to sort of kind of invite in the potential for utilizing holistic and traditional cultural healing practices to advance health and well-being that has, you know, for decades been closed off to us.
Yeah, what's amazing during COVID, and I always like go back to that, because like COVID, we didn't know before there was a vaccine. You know, we were doing I would go down the block, well, at night when it was dark, and get some flat cedar from a tree down the street and make tea. And there was many, you know, a Ho-Chunk pray with the flat cedar, but also we can use it in tea. And there was people with knowledge, the berries, those things that before a vaccine came out, we really stepped into our old ways. And that excites me too, because knowledge can be handed out freely. And also, I'm excited to see this, just the things that you're talking
about. Yeah, it's a very exciting initiative. I'm watching it closely. NAC is working along with a few other folks within the state of Minnesota, along with the state Medicaid director, we're working on some plans around how to advance the support for traditional healing through a Medicaid waiver in Minnesota as well. I think we're not too far behind some of those folks. But it's really exciting. We're going to be watching these things carefully and looking at the outcomes and you know, some of the evaluations on it. But I mean, I think one of the things that is helpful is that it gives tribes and tribal entities that deliver healthcare services to their communities that don't have a significantly large amounts of funding for program and program development. Like, you know, we're the lowest funded health service, federal health service, or among all of them, lower than the VA, lower than, you know, all these other programs. And so what this gives us access to is the ability to test the idea of like, well, we made these billable services and reimbursable services through traditional lines of funding, which would be third-party payer structures. How does that look and how effective will that be? And is there a way for us to implement something like this and still make it expansive enough to broaden access for our communities and give us the funding mechanism to pay for that, right? And then there's a lot of contention around that whole piece as well. But you know,
hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're going to come back and we're going to do some howling and talk some more about this groundbreaking. Yeah,
that's good for too.
Get the howl again like the old days. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Friends, are you tired of listening to the same old thing? Then try listening to KFAI.
But what if I already listen to KFAI?
Friends, are you tired of not having anyone to talk with about the cool stuff you hear on KFAI? Then get your friends to listen too.
But what if I don't have any friends?
Friends, are you tired of not having any friends? Then try KFAI's Discord page.
KFAI's Discord page?
That's right. Log in through the link at kfai.org. Chat with KFAI hosts in real time. Meet other KFAI listeners. Be friendly. Become popular. It's all up to you, because KFAI is where communities, even online communities, grow.
I'm spreading my beautiful wings.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have a really cool show, Haley, right now, and we have our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler on. And Heather, welcome as always. And I know you have a few guests here, and I want to just hand the show over to you because you know what you're doing, and you are one of the best guest host that we have here on Native Roots Radio. Oh,
Heard this before. happy to be here. Thanks for letting me join. I feel like we're having some technical difficulties with my internet today, so I'm sorry if I'm kind of glitchy. You'll have to let me know. But yeah, we've been busy. As we know, we're less than 2 weeks away from the election, and it's one thing for me to do the work out in District 4A in Moorhead. But as I serve in multiple capacities, we talk about intersectionality in these seats. And, you know, as one of the only enrolled members of a federally recognized tribe, it's really important that we also engage our tribal nations. And so this week alone, you know, we were in Leech Lake on Sunday doing a GOTV vote event up there. And then we had a candidate forum up in Red Lake on Monday night. And it's really amazing to see every event we do. We have new community members engage and ask questions, and we have a lot of first-time voters, and they're in their 40s or 50s. And I love that, because I think it's so important that we realize that our voice really has power. Our voice has weight. And so I just want to acknowledge the individuals in those communities that have done the work to organize. One of the pieces of legislation that we were able to pass, we often say we did 84 pieces of legislation to impact Indigenous communities and tribal nations in Minnesota. And some of them are small, some of them are big. One of the things we did was we made it, if a tribal nation requests a pop-up early voting site from a county, the county is required to do at least one pop-up site, and that's new. And so we have our tribal nations that expand over multiple counties, and we're really utilizing that tool to bring voting polls to our communities and tribal nations. And so want to give a big shout out to Jay and her team and the work they're doing out in Minnesota. Every tribal nation is doing their own, and individuals are engaging and having conversations, figuring out voting plans and rides. And so I want to pause. That was a long, like, hello, but hey, want to make sure that we acknowledge the work that we've been doing, you know, from border to border. I want to acknowledge that before I bring on my friends.
Right on. And I know we've had one of your friends on before, and it's great to see Reed. It'll be great to hear what you all have to say. Go ahead, State Representative, take over the show. Ho-wa.
I'd love to. I love when you give me the opportunity to do this, especially when I get to bring my outstanding candidates running up in District 2. One of the things we talk about is geographically what the map looks like of Minnesota. If you look at a map and you look at the west side of the state, really from St. Cloud over, I'm the blue dot in a massively red sea in the House of Representatives. And, you know, it's like I can do that well, but I could do it better if we had a little bit of help. And I want to introduce the candidates that are running up in District 2A and 2B. I have become close friends with them. I feel like we see each other, you know, on the trail and out in the northern woods of Minnesota. And so I want to first hand it over to Michael Reyes. You know, when we talk about the work that we've been able to do for Indian Country and tribal nations, it's because of representation. And it's because we've had Indigenous people sitting at tables. I think we can all say that. And with Jamie Becker Finn retiring, you know, it's critical that we work to get Indigenous people at this table. And so Michael is our candidate running up in a newly districted area that includes two tribal nations that I think is really important to discuss. And so, Michael, you want to do an intro of who you are, what your district is, what you got going on up there? Thanks for joining us.
Bonjour. Michael Indigenous Kaz, Makwan Dundame. Hi, my name is Mike Reyes. I'm an enrolled member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. So the area I'm kind of running for here is, you know, it encompasses two of the three largest reservations in Minnesota, of Leech Lake and White Earth. So I'm enrolled on Leech Lake. I grew up here in Cass Lake. My father, he's enrolled in White Earth, and so I have a lot of family members over there too. And so when I started to run here, I kind of bring a kind of a variety of background to this new seat. Is 16 years of law enforcement, have 11 years of firefighting volunteer, and also some of the issues that we face in Native country, if it's missing and murdered Indigenous people. Started like search teams up here, worked on that. Things that we have been overlooked on throughout the state. I have been on some of those boards and pushed for some of those boards through working in law enforcement. The drug epidemic, you know, I have, you know, over a decade of drug prevention, went all over the country and presented to different tribes and different places. And doing that with, you know, a lot of, all at pretty much at free at cost, usually just the room and meals, just so that knowledge is there so we can start saving our people. And the area that I'm representing is probably one of the highest per capita of overdose deaths. And so the candidate now that's in there, he really doesn't talk to the tribes and address some of these issues you need. So this is where I'm at, and this is who I am. And so I just hope people get out and want change.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've learned in politics is there's a difference in people who do this for like the political power, and then there's people who do this for the people. And when we were at the event on Sunday, and it was an evening event in Leech Lake, and Michael got up and he did his, you know, talk and introduction. But one of the things he said really stuck out to me is that he was at a fire at like 5 a.m. that morning for his community, because he says, I still have community responsibilities to take care of my community. And so, you know, it's putting candidates like that up on the DFL ticket is what makes me so proud to like bring these guys forward to you guys, because we're looking at the candidates that the GOP is putting up, and they're kind of just like really questionable as far as their character. And I'm just so proud of these guys. And I like want to share how wonderful of candidates we have in Greater Minnesota. And so, Michael, I just wanted to like acknowledge that, and acknowledge that a servant's heart is so pure and so real. And I hope that what people are learning about you as a candidate is that, you know, you have this wonderful background, but it's your heart for your people that I think really like resonates when you speak and you talk. And so I'm so grateful for you for stepping forward for that purpose. And so talk to us just a little bit about like when you say you've done this work in law enforcement and you do this work in public safety with, you know, your volunteer fire work, what are some of the things that you've learned, you know, in the community that you would want to bring in your first term to educate us? Because that's an area, you know, that we definitely need more educating on, because typically the law enforcement conversation comes from the other side of the aisle.
Well, so I've always taken that step out of the comfort zone, you know, when somebody says they want somebody to run here, you know, like usually, so I'm the chair of the Pike Bay Township. They wanted natives on this township, you know, it's 85% native population, and we just never had that representation. So I ran, and at that time they were facing one of two townships in the state that had a law enforcement. And so I went in there with that experience and background, and then we allowed the people to decide if they wanted to keep the law enforcement background. But the one thing I brought to that is to have the community have their voice be heard and allow them to voice that. And with my experience with that, you know, I kind of give them the informational background of law enforcement, you know, the community policing, what they're trying to switch to now, and changing how we look at government. So some of these local governments don't even look at tribes as a government. They look past them. They look down on us. Being in law enforcement, you know, it was the same way. You know, there was that ignorance. There was that racism. And so being on these boards and showing that we're here, you know, we're here regardless if they don't want it or not. And I used to say we were election out from having good sheriffs. And I can tell you right now we do with the four counties that encompass Leech Lake, you know. Cass County, get along very well with the sheriff. Their chief deputy is a Leech Lake Road band member. He worked for tribal police. The Beltrami County sheriff, he worked for Leech Lake Tribal Police. And so when I think of all these people in these higher positions in sheriff, it just took that time. And it took those open voices, you know, and it's the understanding with it. And so now that we're all working together, we're all be able to fight and stand up and curb some of the biggest epidemics that we faced, not just in Native country, but everywhere in community. And anybody up here knows the only way that we survive is we stick together, you know, and that's my biggest point that I've been making to Democrats and Republicans. You want to vote down party lines? Go ahead and be it. But there's a candidate here that I never got to pick and choose who I got to help. I'm just there to help. And I'm there to try to make a difference, whatever it is. If it's me picking up trash, if it's me leading the charge, then that is. And so in the law enforcement, that's what I did. I would be on these committees and I'd voice my concerns. I'm not a quiet voice. And I would stand up and I would see the problems that we are. You know, I would call things out, but not a disrespectful way, but in a way to show like, hey, this is wrong, what you're doing, and let's find a different solution for this and how we're looking at this. But you're trying to change generations after generations of this within a small amount of time, and it took time. And I'm saying I started in law enforcement in 2006, and that recently changed in probably 2019, 20. And that started changing with some of the legislative. Heather was probably in when they denied the concurrent jurisdiction the first time around, because people were misinformed and uneducated on law enforcement. And so me bringing that in, it's what is law enforcement really there to do? It's to protect us. It is community service. It is to be there. And it's not just to arrest everybody. It's not to do that, because you're never going to arrest your way out of a problem, but it's there to show us that that we're there to help when you need our call, and not try to throw us in jail, tow our cars, do everything to make our lives harder and make our family mm-hmm. life harder. And so I've seen the uglies of the uglies through and the negative of the negatives day in, day out, but I've seen positive changes that have happened. And that's kind of what I want to bring to the table, is seeing that I worked in that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so good. And I think the thing that you bring up that's so important is that we educate our colleagues. I've had to educate our colleagues that really think they're working in line with sovereignty. And it's like, you know, educating them as we go. So quick intro. We also have my friend Reed Olson, who's running on the other side of District 2 in Bemidji Red Lake area. Reed, do you want to give us a quick intro to you? And we're going to head to break and then we'll come back and have further conversations and dive in. Thanks, Michael, for joining us. Stick around afterwards so we can chat with you a little more. But Reed, do you want to give us a quick intro?
Yeah, Buju, Reed Olson, Indigenous Cause. Hi there, everybody. My name is Reed Olson. I don't have a whole lot of time to say, but I am running for the other side of the district for 2A. I'm really excited. I'm a small business owner. I've been in elected office for about 10 years, 4 years at the Bemidji City Council, 6 years on the Beltrami County, and I'll talk to you in after the break, I guess.
Hey, yeah, we'll be right back. We'll Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
We are a Lusa nation.
Back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strongheart's Native Helpline. You can call or text them for free at 1-844-7-NATIVE or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, Haley, who do we got on today? I know we got some really awesome guests on talking about music. I know one of your favorite things to talk about. I'm really excited to talk to these guests and about, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, we're going to be joined here by Maria Izza, Natani Means, and Thomas Sorensen, promoting a show or a rally that they have going on up in Bemidji this coming Saturday.
Right on. Is our friend Mariah, is she on?
I'm on here. I'm having a little issues with my camera, but I'm here.
Oh, cool. Welcome. And hey, thanks for coming on. And we want to talk about what you got coming up here. We got this community empowerment event, and I'd love you to talk about this and introduce our other guests.
Yes, I'm here joined with, it's good to see the brother Natani Means. And we also have the other brother up north, Thomas Sorensen, who's been such a strong lead in organizing arts and activism throughout the many years that I've known him. So we're looking forward to being up north, those of us coming from the city, to support solidarity and getting active, getting the vote out, but most importantly, talk about the initiatives of our people, our collaborative efforts towards history, our collaborative efforts working towards land back. You know, what does it look like in a world of decolonizations through the lens and voices of artists that have been continually fighting in solidarity for sovereignty?
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm excited. I love Corey Medina, and he's been down here in the Twin Cities. And, you know, we had our we have our booth at the State Fair, and we can hear Corey every other year jamming in the background. And we just love him. Hey, great to see you. And let's get these other guys in the conversation here. This is just a beautiful thing that you got going, and I run into you all over the community, and it's just great to be able to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. I want to pass the mic over. It's good to see Natani Means. I know he's on tour right now, national tour. You know, I'm touring right now through getting the vote out and on a campaign trial. But this is an opportunity where I get to see my brothers in rhyme and movement. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Natani.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Natani Means here. I'm Oglala Lakota Umaha Dene. I'm currently in Phoenix, Arizona right now. I got a little break in my tour to spend some time with some family and some loved ones. So it's good to be on the radio. Good to see everybody here. Maria, Thomas, everybody over there at Native Roots Radio. Robert, thank you guys for having me on.
Right on, right on, right on. What are we, this is really exciting, and, you know, Why don't we get Thomas in here? Thomas, talk about what's happening, man. It's good to have you on here, and let's keep it real, right? Ho wa.
Hey, miigwech, Robert, and Native Roots Radio for having us. It's Buju, Thomas Sorensen, Indigenous Cause, Muskuguan Indigo, Waba Jeshi Nadudem, Odawazaga Ingening Indunjaba, Bumiji Gabag Inda. My name's Thomas. My spirit name's Red Feather. I'm Martin Clan. I'm a proud member of Lakota Ray, and I'm currently living in Bemidji, and I'm the community outreach and programs coordinator for Regional Native Public Defense. We represent tribal members in criminal court. We got a event at the Sanford Center on October 26th from 11 to 5. It's the reason why we named it Our Voices Restored is because it's dedicated to highlighting the recent restoration of voting rights for individuals on probation that are not incarcerated. So it's a celebration of that. But at the same time, we wanted to focus on not only educating the public on the changes in Minnesota voting laws, but we also wanted to get the turnout for everyone else and then also connect attendees with key community resources to empower them beyond the election. Because we all know this work doesn't stop. So I just want to thank you again for allowing us to come on here and get the word out for our event on Saturday, this Saturday.
So we have an event, and it's free, which I think is really important to bring up. And it's getting the community together is just a great thing. And then having music and and just talking and vibing out is just really cool. That's something I think that us as natives and of this continent can really relate to. And you know, Maria, that this is just exciting stuff. And I appreciate you. And again, I see you all over the community. Last time I saw you, I think you you were at the Bernie event, and I was up there too. Ho wa.
That's right. We were at the Bernie event. Shout out to Bernie for coming down and supporting the Harris Walz, you know, campaign. We're all over the place. I just came back, feels like a couple hours ago, from Philadelphia. I was out there with my tribe, with the Boricua community out in Philly, making sure that, you know, not only Boricuas, but Latinos and Black African Americans and folks show out to vote for the person that is the people that have connections, right? Because we're talking about our governor's up for that VP seat, and there's a reason because of that. It's because we've got a state that is committed towards you know, fighting back and utilizing resources for resistance with tribal nations. You know, in my other work, you know, I'm a legislator, but I'm an artist and a mother. And the arts and motherhood is what pumps the fuel to create the policy and work on these initiatives with folks that are not lawmakers, but are the policy makers and active advocacies and organizations. So, you know, I want to shout out ACLU, who are organizing this event. You know, folks that have been doing the work with so many of the tribes up north, and we talk about the legalization of cannabis and who deserves the right to be the first to distribute that, right? And these are the opportunities of restoring justice. So it's really strong. I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to continue to be everywhere. You know, people think that it's just campaign season so that we make moves. Like, nah, we've been doing this before. We were hip-hop artists that represent in a chamber. You know, these are the movements that have been able to create these laws that told us to step up to that pass, to make sure that we get it through the finish line and get a field goal. I'm into sports, so go Vikings. Hard loss yesterday, but, you know, I look at that as how we work as a team effort. That, you know, not everybody's perfect. Policies aren't in there perfectly, but what does work perfect is when we're in village together, when we're drumming together, when we're sharing our stories. Everybody has something to give in the village, in the circle, and we're making noise in Minnesota about that. And I really, really just being out of the state and working with artists like who are on tour, specifically Indigenous Native men like Natani Means, who comes back to every tribe. You know, this isn't something that just happens in election season. You know, like I think back 7 years ago when Hurricane Maria happened, and the first people to step up to the plate to see who needed help and how could they help my tribe people in the Indigenous land of Borinquen, it was my brothers in Native hip hop that came down there with me and that made sure, because we know what it's like. How we need to survive and continue those seven generations beyond. We know that everyone could give something, and we also know that the movement of hip hop in decolonization is strong globally through all Indigenous communities.
Right on. Hey, I just want to say something too about your work as a legislator. We have a governor who's running for vice president, but it's the legislature and the Senate who passed these bills that he signed that he's running on. And I just want to give you a big shout out.
I appreciate that. I you know, it's good to see, right, the coach guy who didn't veto those laws, right, that signed them, or go get where we can have a connection at a federal level. And you think about that when we do talk about, you know, our native land and this all being native land, but in particularly to our reservations and how federal government means so much, right? And those connections so that we can restore justice. We talk about all these treaties and we highlight that, but we all know that them treaties have not been defined to give the justice that the native community deserves. And so, you know, you've got folks like myself in the city, you've got folks throughout the greater Minnesota that are Indigenous women that are making things happen. And we also have a lieutenant governor that I'm going to speak it into existence, you know, will be the first indigenous and woman governor in the state, but Native governor in the country. So if that doesn't tell you a lot about how our Native community is involved and engaged, it's you know, you think about the words that MC from Red Lake Nation, Baby Shell, says. You know, they treat us like we're extinct. And but when we put our tribes together, we're stronger, we're larger, and our history, it goes way back before, you know, some white men signing a constitution together. So it's about recognizing that history and making sure that we're fighting for it, and also holding those folks that are in those seats to be leading in the federal government accountable, that they make sure that they keep their commitment to these tribal folks unifying together. So thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, that's right on. Hey, let's take a quick break here and talk a little bit about our voices that's coming up and how that came about, and Our Voices Restored, a community empowered event featuring live performance, speakers, resources, breakout sessions, and more. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Oh, wow.
KFAI is proud to present Bane at Ice House on Saturday, November 23rd.
Minnesota's own singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Bane has teamed up with the Foreign Exchange Music Collective for his third full-length album, Lifetime. Bane's new work dives into the realms of folk, soul, psychedelic, and synth pop, blending introspective with sonic exploration.
Joining Bane at Ice House is Dutch producer and Foreign Exchange member Nicolay, who will also provide a special DJ set after the show.
Tickets for Bane can be found at the Ice House website. Visit icehouse.mpls.com for more details.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Oh!
Hey.
So good.
Wow. Hey, totally cool having those guys on. I always think that we always should have a music section every week. Haley,
that'd
and
be so fun.
I know. I think you should produce that. Oh!
Aww.
Yeah.
No, that, like, we have so many. I was just talking with one of my friends yesterday about how many Native American artists we have, not only in Minnesota, but all across Turtle Island. And I was just rattling off these names, and I could have just kept going. And yeah, Corey Medina's great. Corey does a lot of shows around here in the Twin Cities. He'll be up there. Natani Means, who Maria mentioned, that is on tour right now. He's traveling all over the country, Natani. And then, just great people doing great work to get the vote out and coming up with these great ideas to get people involved.
Yeah, I just want to, Natani's father was Russell Means, who was one of the original Amster gangsters and really big into the American Indian movement. And later on became an actor, too, and always an activist. And he left us way too soon, but great to hear his son taking on that kind of role, activism role across Turtle Island. Especially, we talked about the pipelines a little bit there, but a very humble dude. But, you know, like you said, there's a lot of rock stars here that are doing things in multiple ways. I know we always have that intro with the reservation dude, and he was his father's huge huge person up north that's been fighting pipelines and things like that for years, and so is he. I saw him at Standing Rock. He used to do, there was a thing at Standing Rock, it was called Facebook Hill, and it was the only place in the whole place that you could get any internet. And we found out later, after Standing Rock ended, that the police and all the sheriffs and everything had this machine that was blocking the internet out of there, so we couldn't get the message out there. But he would do a daily update of what was happening, Dallas Goldtooth, at Standing Rock, and he was there the whole time. And it was just amazing what he is doing as an actor, and what he did as a 1491er, you know, that comedy troupe. And so those venues merge, I guess, is my point, where you're activist and a musician and an actor in the arts. Mm-hmm. We see so much art. Haley, the last few places that we went to saw some Native art that was national was just like, this is all political and it's right on.
Yeah, everything kind of like has this umbrella of messaging when it comes to things that we care about as Native people or things that we are trying to change. It's really, yeah, it's a way that we can express ourselves through many different ways. But yeah, on the topic of pipelines and protesting, I want to shout out the Bad River film documentary again. I was just reading here that Ho-Chunk Nation... Shout out Ho-Chunk Nation is hosting a screening of the film, of the Bad River film documentary, tonight at the Wisconsin Tribal Transportation. Yes, that's what it is. Transportation Conference.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. And where's that? Is that at the Dells or?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Hey.
If you knew where that was, Mr. Ho-Chunk guy.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't go over that before the prep of the show today. No, I don't know where that's at. Wisconsin's not always my jam because I work for everybody that isn't, except that is in Wisconsin, and it's good to be a Vikings fan, but I know we're in Wisconsin, so I want to be chill on that. But that was funny that our guest brought that up too. Yeah. They were Vikings fans. But hey, Packers had a great victory. I just want to throw that out there. So yeah, you know, Nina, I really like what Nina just said here. The protectors at Standing Rock will always be in my heart and ours too, because that's where this activism really came from. Being on the radio was Standing Rock and all the misinformation that came out of there, and non-information. And so we were feeling a gap, and we've just morphed into a show, a one-hour show to a five-hour show a week that's really talking, again, about artists that are activists and people that are speaking their truth and their MMIW and community leaders that are really helping the community as a whole, which is just a beautiful thing, you know?
I do know, yes. I think going back to Bad River, I just want to shout out, I've had people ask me quite a bit, where can people see the Bad River film documentary? Because it's not really released on too many like streaming services yet. Although I think it is on Xfinity. So if you have Xfinity, you could search the Bad River film documentary. But also, it'll be released November 1st on Peacock. But there are other streaming services like Vimeo, if you've heard of that. You can go to the badriverfilm.com for more places to see it.
Yeah, what a great documentary, you know. And I look at these things with a critical eye because of my background, and it was well done. The story was well told, and it was told by the community. And what more can you have? And it's just, we have, you know, after November 5th, we're in the beginning of our work too. And we always have to remember that doesn't stop. And we need to push our politicians in a good way, like the state of Minnesota did, and people like, you know, Maria Issa, you know, as a legislator with good laws and things like that, you know, and our other guests like State Senator Mary Kunish and all our other Native and BIPOC legislators that are pushing it in a good way.
Absolutely. Yes, you mentioned State Senator Mary Kunish, one of our good friends. Speaking of good friends, I want to shout out Vig Guitars and Angie Vig. They're coming up on a 10-year anniversaries with Vig Guitars.
Crazy. I know. Good for them. Congratulations.
Yeah, they're going to be doing some type of like get-together anniversary party coming up here at the start of November. But wow, 10 years. Yeah. As Native-owned, I forget what they call it, Luther-operated? Is that what it is?
It's, I don't know. It's a guitarist place.
They sell guitars. They fix guitars. They do repairs, tune-ups. They have guitar accessories. But yeah, I guess at their anniversary thing, their 10-year, they're going to have a lot of their returning customers and musicians put on a show for everyone. So that's
going to be awesome. And, you know, Angie's husband, I hear in the community all the time, he's like a well-known guitar player.
Yeah.
And it's have you ever seen him play?
I've seen some videos that Angie posted.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.